All right, if you have your Bible, go and turn over to the book of James. And we're going to start here tonight going verse by verse through the book of James. And I've got the commentary on it that I've wrote, which is all my notes put together. I do have that in a book. I don't have any here tonight. But if you want a copy of that, they're $20 each. And that's what it cost me to make the book with the spiral bound and everything. So if you want a copy of that, let me know and I can get you a copy of it. It's got the test in the back of it, so when we do get some kind of organized Bible Institute together, the classes will go towards that. And the book of James, chapter number 1, we're going to kind of go over a little introduction here tonight and then try to go verse by verse through here. The book of James, chapter number 1, we're going to try to record them all. All of Philemon did not get recorded, but pretty much all of Titus did. So we're going to try to get these recorded if you miss any of them. But James chapter number 1, and just to go over a introduction to the book of James, the name James means he grasps the heel. He grasps the heel, or supplanter. That is the meaning of the name James. He grasps the heel, or supplanter. And the author of the book of James, I believe to be James, the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus. Now, there are three prominent Jameses in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible, and I'm going to look at those three real quick. Hold your place there in the book of James and look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. There's three prominent Jameses mentioned, and if you read different commentaries on the book of James, you'll see different opinions given as far as who the author of the book of James is. I believe it's James, the brother of Jesus, that wrote the book of James. But Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 10 verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Now, this John was killed at a very early stage in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. So James, the son of Zebedee, he was killed very early on in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, and look at verse number 1 and 2. All right, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now, does anybody have any dates in their Bible there? Do you have like a Scofield Bible or something that's got dates in it? It should be around A.D. 42. Around A.D. 42 when this James was killed. And the book of James is said to have been written sometime, it's really unknown, but sometime around A.D. 45 to 49. So which would have been a few years after this James was killed. So I don't believe it was James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, that wrote the book of James. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 10. Should have had you hold your place there, but Matthew chapter 10. There's another James. You got James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. And then there's James, the son of Alphaeus. James, the son of Alphaeus. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 3. Verse number 2, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. And then verse number 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus. So you got those two James. And then thirdly, look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13, just go over a couple chapters. You have a third James that's mentioned. You got James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, James, the son of Alphaeus, and then thirdly, James, the brother of Jesus. Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And so you got James, the brother of Jesus. Look over at Galatians 1:19. He's mentioned there also. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. If you're taking notes and I'm going too fast, throw a songbook at me. Or just ask me to slow down and repeat it. As I'm going through here, this is the same material that I taught in the Bible Institute. And so this is like a Bible Institute class. So we're going through here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, he's mentioned again. It said, "But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother." And so you got three James here mentioned in Bible and kind of prominent in the Bible. James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. He was the one that was beheaded or killed with a sword by Herod early on in the book of Acts. And the dates of that death does not match when the dates the book of James was written. And then you got James, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the brother of Jesus. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, was given a special recognition. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Just trying to lay some introduction here to the book and some groundwork to why I believe that James was one of the writers, or was the writer of the book of James. James, the brother of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse number 5 and 7. This is talking about Jesus Christ and when he was seen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel by which we are saved. Verse number 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." That means they had died. So there was a bunch of those people that saw him that were still living at the time of this writing, but some of them had died. Verse number 7, "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." So James was given a special recognition here when it mentioned the people that saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection, and his brother James was given a special recognition here. Look over at Galatians chapter number 2. This James, the brother of Jesus, was a minister to the circumcision. He was a minister to the Jews in the early part of the church age, along with Peter and John. He was one of the main apostles to the Jews. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 7. Galatians 2, 7. "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same way was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James," that's the James we're talking about, "Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." And I realize there's a lot of things we have not covered in the Bible as far as terminology goes, and this might be one that's you're not familiar with. But when you see him talking about the circumcision and the uncircumcision, the circumcision were the Jews. They were circumcised, and that was a part of their law. And so whenever a Gentile was considered uncircumcised, he was considered the uncircumcision. He was kind of an outcast to the Jews. So when you see circumcision and uncircumcision, they're talking about Jews and Gentiles when you come across there. So Paul, he was a minister to the uncircumcision. He was a minister to the Jews. God called him as the apostle to the Gentiles. And then he called Peter, James, and John to be apostles to the Jews, the circumcision. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what he's talking about here in this verse. Now, James, He is one of the pillars of this group here. You got James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John. And he was one of the pillars. He was one of the foundation. He was one of the main apostles to the Jews. And he ends up becoming a prominent leader among the Jews. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12. James, the brother, and you say, well, why are you telling us all this? Because when we get into the book of James and we see the doctrinal application of the book of James, it's important to know that the author, who he was a minister to. He was a minister to the Jews. And we get into the book of James and we're going to get into some heavier doctrine stuff that we've never covered since I've been here. You might have heard it taught somewhere along the line, but we haven't taught it since I've been here. But we're going to get into some more of the heavy doctrine stuff here in the book of James. And so James becomes a prominent leader among the Jews. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 17. Acts chapter 12, verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto who? Unto James. Now this is not James, the brother of John, because in the first part of the book of Acts chapter 12, in verse 2, he's killed. James, the brother of John, is killed, the son of Zebedee. So this is a different James. This is James, the brother of Jesus. Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So I believe that the writer of the book of James is James, the brother of Jesus. And we might look at a couple more verses on that when we actually start the book of James. But he becomes a prominent leader among the Jews. And he's the one that writes this book of James. The book of James was written somewhere around A.D. 45 to 49. It's really unknown when the book was written, but some say between A.D. 45 and 49. It is believed that James and Hebrews were the first New Testament books to be written. Again, this is just some notes that I had gathered on it. It's believed that James and Hebrews were the first New Testament books to be written. This would match the fact that God deals with the nation of Israel before he turns to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what takes place. God deals with the nation of Israel first, and then he turns to the Gentiles. This would also help with the application of the first part of the book of Acts. The first part of the book of Acts is dealing with the Jews. It's not dealing with the Gentiles. God does not turn to the Gentiles, and he doesn't offer them the salvation of by grace through faith until after Paul comes on the scene. Up until that point, he's dealing with the Jews in the first part of the book of Acts. And Acts is a very, it's not a complicated book, but it's made complicated in the fact that Acts is a transitional book. Jesus Christ dies on the cross. He came to save his people. You'll read verses in the book of Luke and the book of Mark that say that Jesus Christ came to save many, or he died for many. It won't say all. And so some people get confused by that. But Jesus Christ came for that Jew. The Jews are his people. But whenever he came to them, they put him up on the cross of Calvary and they killed him. Well, after on the cross, what were some of Jesus Christ's last words? Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay? Well, do you think God the Father would hear the prayer of his Son, Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness for those people? He does. You know what God does? He sends the Holy Spirit. In the first part of the book of Acts, God sends the Holy Spirit, and he's still dealing with the Jews. Go back and read Acts chapter number 2. It says, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea. Ye men of Israel, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea. He's dealing with the Jews. Well, so we find Stephen at the end of Acts chapter number 7, and Stephen is preaching full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, about the Holy Ghost and about what they did, putting Jesus Christ on the cross and asking them to repent. And what did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to death. Okay, so that happens in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8. They begin to scatter preaching the gospel of the circumcision. They weren't preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the same way that we receive it today. They're still preaching the cross of Calvary as being a bad thing. That you killed the Savior, you need to repent. And they're still preaching the water baptism for repentance, which was John's baptism. And they were supposed to do that. And they started preaching that. And then Acts chapter number 9, Paul the apostle gets saved. And God takes him up and God reveals to him another gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. That's the gospel by which we're saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of your not of works, lest any man should boast. And so that's the gospel by which we're saved. And so Acts is a transitional book because up until Paul saved, it's dealing with the Jews. You say, could the Gentile get saved? Yeah, but he had to do what the Jew had to do to be saved. And so till that point, then the middle of Acts, Acts chapter 9, Paul comes on the scene. He's preaching the gospel of the grace of God, but Peter, James, and John are still preaching the gospel of the circumcision. They're still preaching John's baptism. And so there's a transition there. And then eventually in Acts chapter 15, they have a council meeting. They get together, and Peter realizes, God reveals to Peter that, hey, things have changed. In Acts chapter number 10, Peter has a vision. He goes into a trance, and God shows him that the things that used to be unclean are now clean. They're okay. You know what he's talking about? The Gentiles. That he's going to open up salvation to the Gentiles. And so he reveals them that in Acts chapter number 10. In Acts 15, Peter stands up and says, from this day forward, we're going to be saved just as they are. Not the other way around, but we're going to be saved as they are. But it's important to know when the book of James is written, because it's written towards the start, believed to be the start of the book of Acts when you're looking historically at it. Because the book of James is a tribulation reference. It's kind of there's three applications to all of Scripture. You have the historical application. That's what actually took place. You have the spiritual application. That's where you take it and you can spiritually apply it to mean whatever it is spiritually we need to take from it. And all Scripture is given for inspiration. I could preach out of any book in the Bible, and you can find spiritual help out of that book. Now, does that mean it's doctrinally written to you? No, it does not. There's historical, spiritual, and doctrinal application throughout your Bible. And the book of James, there is a lot of spiritual application that we can draw from that in the church today. But doctrinally speaking, there's nothing in the book of James written to us doctrinally. It's a tribulation time reference. It's a tribulation. You say, you keep saying tribulation. Some of you might not have ever heard of that. There's dispensations, different times where God dealt with different people, different ways with people. And I believe there's 10 different dispensations. But we're in the church age. We're in the age of grace right now. And once that trumpet blows, everybody that's saved is getting out of here. And I'm looking forward to that day. But when that happens, the tribulation's going to begin. And that's a 7-year time period of tribulation. And God is going to turn from the church and he's going to turn back to the Jews. And he's going to start dealing with that Jew again. The book of James is written to those doctrinally going through the tribulation. Your Bible is laid out in this dispensational order. And we're going to get into a lot of that stuff some other time, but I'm trying to lay a foundation for the book of James. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, and then also turn to the book of Philemon and hold those between your fingers. Go find Romans chapter 1, and then find the last verse in Philemon and hold those in between your fingers, just like this. Just hold them like that. Now again, every time I teach something like this, I've had people get mad at me saying I'm trying to get rid of the Bible. I'm not trying to get rid of one verse of the Bible. We need this entire Bible. All right, when you find that, just hold it there between your fingers. Okay, doctrinally, how we're saved, how we are supposed to, how we're going to go to heaven, how we're saved, how the church, the instructions to the church doctrinally is found right there for us. These books are written to the church, the body of Christ. That's who we are. Now look at the rest of your Bible. That's written to the Jew, doctrinally. Now again, there's spiritual application for all of us through this whole Bible. I can go to Matthew chapter 24 and preach about the blessed man, and it's going to be true. If you follow these things, you're going to be a blessed man. But Matthew chapter 24 is the constitution for the millennium, doctrinally speaking. And so those books right there, those few, that is written doctrinally to the church. The rest of that Bible, this Bible's a Jewish Bible. But that right there is written to the church, doctrinally speaking. So, if someone wants to go to the book of James and find salvation for the church age, they're not going to find it in there. Because in the book of James, we're going to find salvation by not only faith, but by works. You say, well, that contradicts Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Well, it doesn't contradict if you understand who it's written to. This is written to us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is our salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is our salvation. If you go read James chapter 2, it talks about if you don't have any works, your faith is dead. Now, spiritually speaking, we can preach that. We can say, hey, if you're saved and you've got faith, then you need to get out and do something with it. And if you don't, then you might as well be dead. You're not doing anything for God. But that is not what James is talking about, salvation. The time when Jesus Christ comes back and He blows that trumpet, someone's not going to just be able to fall on their face and say, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and I want Him to save me. They're going to have to get up and they're going to have to work. They're going to have to help the Jew. They're going to have to not take the mark of the beast. There's positive works and negative works in the tribulation in order for them to make it. And they're not going to be a part of the bride of Christ. They're missing out on all that. And so the book of James, doctrinally, is written to those that will be left behind. Y'all have heard the series, seen the movies, Left Behind. And so if the rapture hits, I'm going to be gone. But if you're still sitting here and get another pastor, you better tell them to turn to the book of James and start preaching. Because that's going to be doctrine when we're gone. That's going to be what they have to follow. And they have to follow it to the letter. If I mistreat my brother, and that can happen now, I'm still going to heaven. I got to ask forgiveness for it, get things right for a relationship with God, but I'm still going to heaven. You get off in the book of James and you get off track, you better get back on track quick. Because if you died, you're gonna end up in hell. And that's just the truth. So the book of James is written doctrinally towards the beginning. Now, the book of James is written historically to the 12 tribes that are scattered. So look at James chapter 1 real quick. All right. James chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Now, a good thing to, you say, well, is this book written to me or not? Find out who it's addressed to. Paul addresses, he's saying to the churches, are to such, so-and-so in your church or in your house, in your church. You know that's written to the church doctrinally. Look how the book of James starts out. You know right off the bat it's not written to us. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are what? Scattered abroad. So right off the bat, we know he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Now, are any of you a part of the 12 tribes that are scattered? No, you're not. Okay, so we know right off the bat. You say, well, why are we studying the book of James verse by verse? Well, we need to study all of it. And there's a lot of spiritual help we can get out of this book. And we're going to glean those things as we go through here. But we need to know our Bible. And we need to know doctrinally where we stand and understand doctrinally what these verses are talking about. Okay, so doctrinally, we're dealing with the tribulation. As we go through here, And so there's some doctrines that we'll see in the book of James that you'll say, man, I saw that done in the church one time. And they got it from the book of James. Now, you say, Brother Andrew, are you saying they're wrong for doing that? No, they can do whatever they want to do. But doctrinally speaking, that's not for the church. And I've seen it done. I've participated in some of this stuff before. I've been asked to participate, and I just went along and did it. But it's not beside you. So we'll get into some of that stuff. All right, so historically, the book of James, look at Acts chapter 8. Okay, so I told you, the stoning of Stephen. So Stephen is preaching full of the Holy Ghost. He's preaching about the Holy Ghost. He's preaching about the crucifixion of Christ. The same thing Peter was preaching. And he's preaching full of the Holy Spirit of God. And they stone him. Well, all the Christians that were there, the believers, the true believers that believed, that said, hey, we messed up. We put Christ on a cross. There's a lot of people got saved in the first part of the book of Acts. There's thousands of people that got saved. Well, because of this stoning of Stephen, they felt persecuted. They were persecuted. They were persecuted in the first part of the book of Acts by the religious leaders, those religious Jews, and they were persecuted. So Acts chapter number 8, this is after the stoning of Stephen, and they're being persecuted. Look at verse number 1, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That's the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we see a scattering. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, that's hauling them off, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. The book of James historically is written to these people right here that scattered after the stoning of Stephen. James wrote this letter to the Jews that scattered after the stoning of Stephen. And he gives them some instructions that doctrinally apply to them. All right, does that make sense? And as we go through here and go through the book of James, you'll see this stuff start tying together. So it's written to the 12 tribes scattered after the stoning of Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter number 15. Verse number 13. Acts 15:13. And after they had held their peace, James, that's the James we're talking about, answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. He's given instructions to some more of these Jews. Look at Acts 21:18. So these Jews that scattered after the stoning of Stephen, James is giving them instructions. And that's what the whole entire book of James is him instructing those Jews that were scattered after the stoning of Stephen. Doctrinally, it's going to fit in after the church is gone. And I'm looking forward to that trumpet. I'm looking forward to that trumpet blowing and us meeting Him in the air to be forever with the Lord. But those that are left, because life's going to go on. That mean old devil's going to show, the Antichrist is going to show up, and he's going to have an answer for why we're gone. Is he not? He's going to come up with an answer. And everybody's just going to woo and wow and during that 7-year tribulation. And that man, and everything is going to be peaceful. And he's going to make these promises for the first 3.5 years. And then he's going to break promises. And then it's all going to break loose after that 3.5 years. But we're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. And if you're not saved, you need to make sure you're saved. That you've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Not a hope so, not a no so, not a maybe so. Because I'm telling you what, you do not want to be left here during the tribulation. You think it's hard? It's going to be hard. And we're going to get into some of that stuff. You're not going to be able to take care of your family. It's going to get to the point where it's almost impossible to take care of your family without taking the mark of the beast. And so we're going to get into some of that stuff. And I don't mean to spook you, but if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Acts chapter 21, verse 18, again, talking about James giving instructions to these Jews that were scattered. Acts 21, 18, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So James is a prominent figure throughout the book of Acts to these Jews. Now, the purpose of the epistle of James, like I said, there's a lot of practical information that we can get from the book. And as we go through here, I'll give you the spiritual application. I'm a preacher. I can't help but preach a little bit when I'm teaching. So we're going to come across some verses that don't have anything to do doctrinally with us at all. But I'm going to give you the spiritual, the practical application. And if you follow them, you'll be a better Christian for it. And you'll be a better steward of God's Word, but not doctrinally. Not applied to us doctrinally. Doctrinally, the book of James written to the Jews that'll be going through the tribulation. If you want some statistics on the book, there's 5 chapters. There's 108 verses and 2,304 words. 5 chapters, 108 verses and 2,304 words. And you won't find any inscriptions at the bottom of these books. Those were only in the ones that were written to the church. All right, I'm going to stop right there for tonight, and hopefully I've whet your appetite for wanting to study the book of James. I love doing this. I love teaching and going through these verse by verse books. And so I hope that you're planning on being here Wednesday nights for this and enjoying it as we go through here. Let's all stand.